we are concluding this series, Secure. And as we do, we're going to talk about sailing on and losing no one. And we're going to kind of bookend this conclusion lesson with an illustration from the Old Testament to begin and an illustration from the New Testament to end. So let's look, first of all, in the Old Testament. Now, when the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land, they were really entering a battle zone. This was the land that God had promised to them, but it was an amazing paradox because God said, I'm giving you a land and it flows with milk and honey, but on the other hand, you're going to have to fight for it if you want to possess it. Now, one could certainly ask God, God, why did you make them fight for it? It's the promised land. It was your gift to them. This was your land that you were giving to them. It was settled by you. Why make them fight? Why make them get involved in this life-threatening, bloody combat to possess the land that you had already given to them? But God was clear through the instruction of Joshua that they were going to have to fight and they were going to have to claim if they were going to possess the land that God had given to them. Now, God assured them that losing was not a possibility, that if they would follow God, if they would be obedient to His leading, that they indeed would win. In fact, God repeatedly told them, you've already won. I will give you the land, but you have to fight. They had to have courage and they had to follow the Lord. I often think about the story of Noah and the ark. And God promised that He would deliver Noah, his wife, his three sons, their three wives, and anyone else who would put their faith and trust in God from the flood. But Noah still had to build the ark. God did not just send from heaven, poof, there's a boat, get on that. You know, for 120 years, he labored and preached to build the vessel that would save his life. And so oftentimes, God's direction and God's promises came with a contingency that we would do our part. And so it is here in the promised land as well. And we live in a day as Christians where we don't really want to battle and claim. We want the blessings of God on our life, our marriages, and our home, but we don't really want to have to do the battle that God calls us to do. And that's exactly what's happening here in Numbers chapter 32. There are the children of the tribes of Gad and Reuben, and they have received the same instruction of everybody else. You've got to go fight. You've got to claim so you can possess the promised land. But they're considering their options because the Bible says that the children of Gad and Reuben had a great multitude of cattle. So they were a blessed people. They had a lot of cattle. And where they had settled, they had really good land right where they were. So in their minds, they heard about the promised land and what God was doing. But they were looking around going, you know what? We kind of like it here. Everybody likes where we've settled. Our cattle, it all works well for us. We're thinking we might just stay here. This might be the best sensible decision for our people. They were comfortable where they were, and they weren't really willing to put everything on the line to trust God and to take Him at His word. Well, as the chapter unfolds, it's a powerful picture of where many Christians are today. We have more than we've ever had before. We've been blessed. Our houses and garages are filled with stuff. Our land is good. Our bellies are satisfied. Our closets are overflowing. We're comfortable. So why should we fight? Why should we claim? Why should we follow the Lord, tiring ourselves, getting busy and worked up over what? We kind of like it the way it is. When Dr. J. Frank Norris was voted in as the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas in the early 1900s, he was known as a fighting and fiery preacher. And the church that had brought him in accepted him, and they knew that if Dr. J. Frank Norris comes here as our pastor, he's going to bring with him that fighting and that visionary spirit, and he's going to want to lead our church forward and press forward for the things of God. So 300 people were given the opportunity to vote. 299 voted yes, but he got one nay vote. And the sending voter on his ballot wrote this note: if he comes here, there will be the most Al-Firedist explosion that any church has ever seen. We are at peace with the world the flesh, the devil, and each other. I'm warning you. That's what the nay voter put on his ballot. Isn't that an amazing phrase? We're at peace with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Does that sound like an accurate picture of Christians today? We're at peace with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Everything is fine the way it is. Don't rough the waters. And many times, that's where families come in their Christian walk. Just leave it where it is. In fact, research would show us today that there's very little difference in 2018 between the lifestyles of the lost and the lifestyles of those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oftentimes, the two different people, those who know Christ and those who don't, oftentimes they're listening to the same music, they're going to the same movies, they're drinking the same alcohol, they're dressing in the same clothing, they're engaging in the same behavior. There's truly no difference. They've come to a place where they are at peace with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's exactly where Gad and Reuben and their tribes were at in this passage. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to change. They just wanted to stay put. So what does God do with that? Look at this. Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 20. That was kind of all background. Verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, go fight, possess the land, ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of your armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him. And the land shall be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, your sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. What an amazing passage in Numbers 32. God comes to them in this moment of indecision, and here's what God says. I want you to follow me, engage in the fight, go possess the promised land, be involved like everybody else, and after I give you the victory, I'm going to let you come back to this land. You like the land? Then you can have it. You can come back and you can dwell here. You can build the houses you want. You can develop the farms for the sheep. You can do what you desire, but I want you to be involved in the fight first. And the Bible says if you do that and you're obedient, you will be here. The Bible word is guiltless. But if you refuse to follow God and get involved and be obedient, the Bible says be sure your sin will find you out. You will live in disobedience to God, and you will live under that curse. And so God said, if you follow me in faith, I'm going to take care of you and your little ones. But if you live in disobedience, your sin will follow you for the rest of your life. God expected from them one thing, obedience. God had already laid the directive. This is what we're supposed to do. And God expected the men of Gad and Reuben and their wives and their children to say, yes, sir, we will follow and we will obey. When God looks at you and I today in 2018 as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, God expects for you and I to obey. God expects for you and I to go to His Word, to learn, to grow in His grace, to become more into His image, and to live an obedient life unto Him. And God says, I'll bless you, I'll take care of you, I'll care for your future, but you have to make a decision. What are you going to do? And class, how can you and I, as we conclude this series, be found obedient to the Lord in securing the relationships that matter most and protecting our marriages and homes against the evil one? As we conclude, let's look at these three simple thoughts. Number one, we must engage in the fight for our family. We must engage in the fight for our family. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore, thou also art called, that hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, we're challenged, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is God saying to you? Get in the fight. And to every husband, and to every wife, and every mom, and every dad, my encouragement to you is, if we are going to secure matters most, if we are going to protect our marriages and families against the wicked one, we must determine to engage in the fight. We can't sit on the sidelines. We can't just wait to see what's going to happen. We have to proactively decide, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to engage in the fight. And then can I challenge you this morning? If you lose your fight, you lose. If you lose your fight, you lose. All right? You have to be determined to stay in the fight. You have to stay engaged with what God has for you. Jonathan, would you run up here real fast and help me? And Jonathan and Jordan are newer couple in our class, and Jonathan is serving our armed forces, and he's in good shape. So let's say that Jonathan and I got in a boxing match, okay? Now, I've not done a lot of boxing. Jonathan, have you done a lot of boxing?
Yes, sir.
He has. Okay. Oh, 6 years. I picked the wrong guy. Never mind. Go sit down. No, I'm teasing. So I had no idea. So 6 years of boxing experience, and all I have is, I'm a pastor. We don't really do a lot of that unless the counseling goes really south, you know. Then you maybe, no, I'm teasing. And so let's say Jonathan and I get in a boxing match, and man, we got our dukes up and we're boxing, and Jonathan lays me out. 6 years of experience. He's in the United States Armed Forces. I mean, I'm out and I'm down and I'm gone. Now, I have a decision to make. I can either remain down and the fight's over, or I can get up and I can dust off and I can get back in the fight. And Jonathan can knock me down one time, 10 times, 100 times. But every single time that I'm knocked down, I have a decision to make. What am I going to do? And I can quit and I can stay down. And if I decide to do that, it's over. But every single time I get knocked down, I can decide to get back up. And I can brush myself off and I can get back in this fight. Because the minute I lose my fight, I lose. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, yet riseth up again. Every one of us in this room are going to fall down. Every one of us in our marriages and our families are going to make mistakes. We're going to have a tough day. We're going to do something we should not do, and we're going to fall down. At that moment, you have a choice. Are you going to stay down, or are you going to get back up? It doesn't matter how many times he knocks me down, I have to get back up. Because the very first time I decide that's enough, Jonathan wins, and they count to 10 and it's over. Guess what? My fight's over. Now, who wins between Jonathan and I is not that important this morning. My question, and thankfully we're not really going to box. Thankfully, but as you consider your family and your marriage and your family, who's going to win the fight for your family? The Bible says that Satan wants to rip your family apart. We learned in the beginning of this series, the war we cannot see. It's real. So there's an enemy after your marriage and your home. And God has put you strategically in his way in the might of the Lord. But you have to make a decision. I'm going to engage in the fight. And I'm not going to lose my fight. Because if I lose my fight, I lose. Jonathan, thank you very much. So, we got to stay in it. And thank you for not punching me. Okay, now, so we got to stay in the fight. And the Bible says if we do, He will give us the victory. What were the four strategies we studied in this series? We talked about dividing and conquering. Satan wants our families fragmented. He wants us running at such a pace that nobody has any time together. Are you going to fight against that? We talked about how Satan will draw out and devour. He wants rebellion in our heart. He wants us living in resistance to authority. Are you going to fight against that? We talked about pollute and plunder, how Satan wants the world's corruption in our heart, that he will look for every opportunity to influence us in the ways of the world and to put that poison in our life. Are you fighting against that? We talked about his strategy to befriend and bewilder, to bring into our lives and the lives of our loved ones wrong companions. And they look good oftentimes on the surface. And we may not see the hook at first, but Satan knows what he's doing, and he desires to sift us away from the Lord through relationships such as that and to destroy us by the wrong crowd. We read the verse, a companion with fools shall be destroyed. Not maybe, not might be, that will be their end. Are you fighting against that? We have to engage in the fight. But secondly, we must claim the promises of God by faith. We must claim the promises of God by faith. Class, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Listen, sometimes going to church is going to feel awkward. Sometimes doing right is going to feel backward. Sometimes following God in faith is going to feel like, God, are you sure? I mean, they went into that promised land and they came back going, you know what, God? Let's have a conversation here. I mean, those guys over there, they're giants. The walls around those cities, they're no joke. I mean, this is not going to be a picnic, God. You're talking about a full-on war. And God said, yeah, I know. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to win. And there's going to be days in your marriage where you're going to look at God and say, God, what are you doing? There's going to be days in your parenting journey, you're going to have a lonely night with God and say, God, what is going on? Never imagined I'd be here. I don't understand what's happening. I don't know where we're going. I don't see an end to this. And I just want to encourage you, class, there's already got to be a commitment in your heart. God, I'm going to trust you by faith. And when those walls look taller than I can scale, and when those giants look like more than I can handle, and when life is not going my way and I don't exactly understand what you're doing, I've already decided I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to claim your promises because I know you can win. And I know you're right. And I know you love me and you love my family. And I know that I can trust you. We've got to claim the promises of God by faith. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've just got to stay following the Lord in faith. Class, how do we secure what matters most? Engage in the fight for your family. Don't lose your fight. Stay proactively involved. Claim the promises of God by faith. Don't doubt God. Don't get sidetracked. Don't become consumed with disbelief. Satan may have you right now confused. God is not the author of confusion. So follow God. Have faith in His plan and follow Him. And then thirdly, what must we do? God will bless our futures in response to our obedience. So we've got to fight, we've got to trust, and we've got to obey. And if we will do that, God will bless our lives and our future. The Bible says in Luke 11:28, but He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can I ask you an honest question this morning? Is your life, marriage, and home receiving the blessings of God for your obedience today? As you look at your family, let's just take January 1 till now. Roughly 6.5 months. Is your family being blessed by God because of your obedience to Him? Now listen to me. I full well understand that God may allow a season of testing come into your life, whether you're living obediently or not. Some of you heard the tragic news of the accident in Branson, Missouri this past week with a Ride the Duck attraction. And a retired pastor, Williams, was the driver, which means he drove it when it was on land, but he was not the captain. But he was on board, and he and 16 others lost their life in that tragic accident this past week. What's interesting is that's one of the attractions our family did on a vacation a few weeks ago. In fact, Pastor Williams was our driver. We were going through the pictures, and we had pictures of our family with this individual. And to think just a few weeks ago, we were there, we met him, we were on the same vehicle, we were interacting, and today that man is in heaven as a result of a tragic accident. What does that mean, and how does that all add up, and what is God doing? There are going to be some things this side of heaven we don't understand. There's going to be some directions and some turns and some twists in life that are very difficult to grapple with. But you and I have to have something inside that is just so sure that nothing shakes it. They interviewed the man's wife, and they asked if she was surprised that he did not get off, and she said, not at all. In fact, we fully expected when we heard there were fatalities for him to be one. And they were intrigued by that. He had been doing this for years, and they said, well, why do you say that? And she said, oh, we just know who he is. He's the kind of man that would insist on being the last one off. I don't know what God's going to allow in and through my life. I don't know what God's going to allow in and through your life. Sometimes our lives are shine the brightest for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going through a trial. And God allows some things. Sometimes it's in our spouse. Sometimes it's in our children. But there's got to be some commitments in our heart that say, God, I'm in this fight. And I'm not getting out. And I trust you. And we may go through some things that I never thought we would see. But I promise to trust you. And I'm going to obey. And I may not want to leave the land I'm in. I may not want to go into a fight. This may not be what my nature wants. But I'm going to obey. Because I believe that if I live in obedience to you by faith, that you will bless my life and bless my family. And that's exactly what God promised them in Numbers chapter 32. May you and I engage in the fight, claim the promises by faith, and secure the blessing for the future. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is being taken as a prisoner to Rome. He's on a ship, and he's headed into a terrible storm. They are taking him so that he can stand trial. And God comes to Paul, and he begins to tell Paul what's going to happen. Listen very intently in Acts. As the Lord comes to Paul, and here's what he says. He assures Paul of everything that's going to happen and that Paul's going to be okay. Now Paul is on this ship with all of these mariners, and they're in a terrible storm, and it's about to get worse. And Paul stands up on this boat in Acts 27, and he begins to declare after he's heard from the Lord, and here's what he said. Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete. Paul says, guys, we should have never left. But there's not going to be any harm or loss, and I exhort you, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, that thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that will sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told unto me. So here's Paul on this ship. He's prisoner. He's taken to stand before Caesar to be tried for his faith. He's on a ship with guards and mariners, and they're in a terrible storm. And Paul stands up and says, guys, don't worry. God told me it's going to be okay. We're going to lose the ship, but not a single man's life is going to be gone. Could you imagine a deckhand standing up on the Titanic and saying, everybody listen, in a moment we're going to hit an iceberg. The unsinkable ship is going to go down. The waters are freezing cold and icy, but be of good cheer. Everybody will be fine. I mean, they would have locked him up for like insanity, right? Nobody would have listened to him. Well, that's what Paul did on this vessel. And Paul says, everything is going to be fine. Now, why did Paul have such confidence? Because he knew the rest of the story. He knew how it would end. And he declared that unto the men. Well, if you read Acts 27, it's an amazing story. Sure enough, the storm comes. And the men start getting, as men would, fearful. They start throwing stuff overboard. They start talking about why it's coming. I mean, it's getting chaotic. And Paul begins to minister to those men. And Paul says, guys, calm down. I'm telling you, we're going to be fine. Trust me. God says we will be okay. The Bible even declares in the middle of that storm that the men indeed were of good cheer. And that they began to follow the leading and direction of Paul. In fact, it wasn't until Paul said that they began to jump overboard and every single one of them swam to safety. They lost the ship. They endured a tragic storm, but not a single life lost. Why? Because they followed the direction of the one who was following the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? Whose direction are you following? Are you following God in your marriage? Are you following God in your home? Are you following God in your life? And if you are, can I encourage you? Have confidence. You say, yeah, but Brother Rule, our ship right now, we're in a pretty rough storm. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I'm telling you, we may lose our ship in this storm. Yeah, I know. But if you're following the Lord, you're going to be okay. God's going to take care of you. An amazing promise in Acts 27, 24, when God said to Paul, fear not, thou will be brought for Caesar, and I have given them all that sail with thee. God said, listen, you're not going to lose one single person on this vessel. You know what our prayer is for our homes? That we don't lose one single person. Amen. I don't want to see one couple in our class get a divorce. I don't want to see one family in our class have a child that through their home leaves and departs from the things of God. You know what we want to do? We want to sail on and lose no one. We want to keep everybody in the good grace of the Lord. How do we do that? Fight. Faith. Obedience. Let's not lose our fight. Let's have a great faith in God. And let's obey no matter what. And watch God bless and keep everyone together. May our families and marriages be stronger because of our obedience to the principles of the Word of God that we have learned in this series. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you for this series of study that we have embarked upon as a class, securing what matters most and discovering the strategies of Satan and what he's doing to tear families apart, but discovering from your word, what can we do to secure our homes from those attacks? And as we conclude this series this morning, I pray that you'd help every one of us in this room as Christians, husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, to take your word and to implement it into our life. And may we this morning determine we're going to fight. We're going to keep getting back up. We're not giving in. We're going to have faith in God. And when we don't understand, we're going to hold on to the hand of the one who does. And we're going to obey. And we're going to trust that God will bless the simple obedience of our heart. Lord, help us as families to sail on and lose no one. Help us to have a confidence that is unflinched, no matter what it is we're facing on the outside, because we know the God we serve and the message he's given on the inside. May our families be secure because of our adherence to your plan. I pray that you bless our families. And then this next week as we come and begin the new series, The Simple Life, I pray that you help us to be in our place and invite a guest as well, and that you continue to do a work in our heart and our class. And for this, we promise to praise and to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.